Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Wow, do I have a guest today? This is so thrilling for me. For many reasons. One, because he's pretty impressive, but two, because the subject is so timely. It is so important with all of the things that we are facing during this pandemic-y period of our lives that we have inspiration. And I tell you that Ken Linder has inspired me with his wonderful book called Aspire Higher, How to Find the Love, Positivity, and Purpose to Elevate Your Life and the World. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Great. Wow. Wow. What a book. I tell you, I had so much fun reading it, and I was inspired in so many ways. And I actually, several times during, you know, the reading of it, and then when I reread it again just yesterday, you know, I had it for a while when you sent it to me. I read it, and then I, with all of the events that have occurred in the past few weeks, including the horrible, horrible death of a six-month-old baby by a stray bullet, which really affected me very much because I remember when I used to put my kids in their car seat, and we had a ritual, and it was always, you know, when I snapped them in there and protecting them, it was a kiss. We always kissed. And to think of this mother who put her kid in a car seat and next thing you know, he's gone. And that's why I think your book is so timely. It is so important that people start thinking the way you've been thinking, the way you've been working over your all of your life, really, to aspire higher and to find that love and to find that positivity and to really find a purpose in life. So I'm just really honored that you are on Joy on Paper today.
Well, I'm thrilled to be with you and your listeners.
Well, where do we start? One of the wonderful things about this book, I love all the personal stories that you've included, all the examples, because I think when people are reading a book like this, you know, they're looking for information, they're looking for inspiration, and so often, just the right story, one story can set you off in a new way of thinking. I was particularly impressed with the story of going to a restaurant, and you and your friend were at a restaurant, and there was a collision between your friend and somebody else. Can we start with that story? Because I think that is so beautiful.
Sure, Patsy. Well, the story is that when I was about 15 years old and I was living in New York City, Brooklyn, my friend and I were going to a New York Knicks game, and we were looking for a place to eat by Madison Square Garden. We found a place where you could get flame steaks and huge baked potatoes and gooey desserts and everything big. It was sort of cafeteria style, and we could not find a place to sit, so we had to go upstairs, and all of the tables were taken there as well, but my friend Steve saw some people getting up from a table, so he rushed to get that soon-to-be vacant table, and as he did, he wound up colliding with a young man, and all of the food, all of the drinks, all of the gooey desserts fell on the floor. Steve's pants got wet, his shoes got soaked, and instantaneously he yelled at the person he collided with at the top of his lungs, "What, are you an idiot?" And for a moment the restaurant was dead silent. And then Steve realized that that person wasn't an idiot. He was blind. And Steve had knocked him over, and he was trying to get his walking stick, which a young lady kindly gave to him and helped him get up. And Steve was mortified. He was shamed. So was I. And it's a great lesson that when we are overcome by feelings of anger, rage, desperation, fear, hurt, all of those emotions, we act impulsively. We don't think about the consequences of our acts. We just react. And quite often, we act in a way that is counterproductive to being our very best self. And we're embarrassed and we're shamed, our self-esteem plummets, and we feel really badly about ourselves. And that was a story to make the point that if we are going to make great decisions in our lives, decisions that reflect our highest selves, our highest values, and our highest goals, we have to make decisions when we are clear-headed and can think about our highest values, not act impulsively, press the send button, say something you regret, and you later realize in a clearer moment that you made a big mistake and could have handled things much better.
Well, what I love about the book are all the examples, and I love all the little notices or suggestions that you give to people. And this particular one that I'm going to read, I like, and I think it should actually be a magnet that you can hand out to people or people can buy and put on the refrigerator, because it's something that they should think about. And it's on page 42, and it says, "No matter how intense the emotion or how loud the noise, I'll make sure that I think clearly and never lose my poise." That really should be a magnet on everybody's refrigerator, so they start off the day thinking about that.
Well, you know, Patsy, Aspire Higher is all about making life choices, decisions, as I said, that reflect your highest self, your highest goals, and your highest values. And they're choices that elevate your feelings of self-esteem, elevate your feelings of self-worth and your self-image, and your confidence that you can affect positive change in your life. And when you have those feelings, you are empowered. You know, it's sort of like going on a diet and losing the first 5 pounds. You look good. You feel good. You can fit into the clothes maybe you couldn't fit into before. You are revved up, and that positively reinforces you. It motivates you to continue to make great dietary choices in the future because you love the way things are going. It's the same thing with making small life choices at the beginning. Make them, make really great ones, get your confidence, and get on that path where you're motivated to make more and more great life choices in your life and more important ones. And that gets you on a path where eventually you feel like you are worthy of the life you're dreaming about and are starting to design for yourself, that you deserve it. And when you start to feel worthy and deserving of all of these good things, you start to feel self-love. And when you love yourself, you're far more likely to make great life choices that reflect that love, reflect the fact that you want a better life, you want better relationships, you want to take care of yourself physically and emotionally. And also, Patsy, when you love yourself, you're far more likely to bestow love and kindness and civility and respect unto others, which is so important for our country right now. We need peace. We need mutual respect. We need civility. So what happens with all of this is you get an Aspire Higher triple bonus by making positive life choices that instill love in your heart. You elevate yourself. you're motivated to elevate others, and collectively, we elevate our country.
Well, you are inspiring in and of yourself, because I want to tell my listeners, of course, that you are the founder of Positive Life Choice Psychology and the Positive Life Choice Psychology Lifestyle. You graduated from Harvard University, magna cum laude, and of course, Cornell Law School, and you didn't become a lawyer. You aren't practicing law, I don't think, but you found this particular passion for helping people and helping people to recognize the value of thinking about the choices they make in life. I was particularly impressed with your explanation of heart of hearts, how important it is to feel loved, and to feel loved particularly at a young age.
Yes, and I didn't from my dad, which is how I came to understand this much better. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked 6 days a week and many nights. So as a very young person at 2 and 3 and 4 years old, I thought, well, my mom is always there. She must love me. My dad is never there. He must not love me. So growing up, I had a lot of strong feelings in my heart of unlovability, of lack of approval, of frustration, of anger, because I wanted my dad's love. I wanted his attention. Now, what I realized later is that my dad's father died when he was very, very young, and he had to start working immediately. And he had almost no formal education when he came over from Poland to the United States. So he had to start working as a stock boy, and eventually he became executive vice president of a department store chain, and actually was on the ground floor of contributing to the success of TJ Maxx. But he had to work really hard because he was competing against people who had an education. So he wanted me to have the education he never had, so he worked tirelessly. And I understood that when I got older. But at the beginning, I had a heart that was somewhat filled with love because of my mom, but also had some real rejection issues. As a youngster, it wasn't until I started playing something called paddle tennis with my dad and bonded with him, and he started spending more and more time with me, and I got his approval, that my heart started to be filled with much more love. And you know, I've always believed after my experience that if you have a heart filled with love, you're far more likely, as I mentioned earlier, to share that love, bestow that love onto others, because you have to have something to give it. And the thing is that it's not just about people loving you. That's such an important part, especially for youngsters. But it's also about you loving yourself. And one of the ways I believe that you do that and develop a foundation of confidence, of high self-esteem, and of high and feelings of high self-worth is by making positive choices and empowering yourself with the choices that will help you make a better life for yourself. And when you have that core confidence, when you face hardships, when you face things where people push your emotional button, when something called the negativity bias looms in you, and the negativity bias, scientists say, is our proclivity for looking at the negative far more than the positive, focusing on it more, obsessing on it. And that is, you can hear, for example, 3 positive things and 10 negative, or 1 positive thing and 3 negative. And basically, most people will focus on the 1 negative. And that was something that was a defense mechanism years and years ago to protect us from being out in the wilderness and other things. But it can be really bad for us now if we don't have the inner foundation that we build through our positive life choices. And that's what Aspire Higher talks about, the steps to build that core confidence, that high self-esteem within us, so that when we are shaken by something, we don't spiral down and make a bad choice. We value ourselves, our futures, our potential, our well-being enough that even through the toughest times, we figure out a way to make constructive choices.
Well, I think the entire idea of Heart of Hearts is so beautiful, and one that so many, I think this book, if anyone has somebody in their family who's having a baby for the first time, their first child, I would recommend that they give this book, because it really will open people's eyes, a mother's eyes and a father's eyes, to the importance of really thinking about what you say and what you do with your child, how you can make them feel loved. And if they feel loved, they will give love.
Absolutely, Patsy. And I love what you're, you know, talking about right now, because it's so important to have your child feel treasured. You know, it's so important. You may feel, a parent may feel like they're doing the right thing, but the key is it's all about how the child perceives the attention that they're getting. And if a child feels valued, feels respected, feels cared about, that will go a long way in filling what I call their heart of hearts, which is their heart, their psyche, the seat of their soul. And if they feel loved, they're empowered to withstand so much as they grow up. Because, you know, as your kids get older, and I have two children who are 20 years old, you can't control the stimuli that they are subjected to, whether it be in the schools or whether it be on the internet, whether it be from the influences of their friends. They have to have core love, core strength, feel like they are worthy of making good life choices for themselves, no matter what they're thrown, no matter who comes to them and says, take this drug or do this or do that. You have to have that moral compass. And that moral compass comes from, I value myself. I am worthy of doing good things for. I'm worthy of saying, no, I'm not going to drink and drive. No, no, thank you. I don't want that. It's not good for me. Those are the kinds of scripts and things you want to hear in your head. And the way that happens is when children feel loved and valued. They, in turn, value themselves.
Well, I agree. And actually, I was thinking of, there are so many of these birthing classes nowadays where people go to practice what's going to happen when they have a baby. And I would recommend to anybody who's involved in birthing classes, I don't know if there's like a national birthing class company, one who does this major training, that they take this book and this be part of their course, because the more that parents realize and understand that really everything they say and everything they do can change the life of their child in such a positive way, if they are really just show this love. And, you know, I was also, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I was very lucky. My dad worked like your dad. When I was young, he had three jobs. He was a Teamster. He worked all the time, but somehow he did manage always to make me feel special. But so I never had that feeling that you had, unfortunately. But it is important that parents think about these things, And so from that point of view, I think this book is just so relevant at this time. And as a matter of fact, what I'm going to do today, I'm ordering three of these books, and I'm sending them to an organization of books for prisoners, because I think so many people who are in prison, they sometimes are like confused. Why am I here? Why have I done these things? And if they look back and they say, yeah, you know, I didn't have this love. I didn't have this heart of hearts feeling when I was young. And it's gotten me into a mess. And hopefully they will, even if just one prisoner realizes, my goodness, I can make a difference. When I get out of here, I will be a good parent. I will be loving. I will think about what I am doing to my child.
Well, Patsy, you know, Aspire Higher is all about taking you where you are today and helping you elevate your life. So if your heart isn't totally full with love, and most people's hearts are not, it's a set of steps to help you refill your heart, push out the negativity, push out the hurt, push out the anger, push out the insecurity, and fill it with empowering love by the life choices that you make. And, you know, also, the reason why I wrote the book, Patsy, interestingly enough, is because with all the negativity that we have right now, with the shootings and the lootings and the devastating effects of COVID and global warming and inflation and racism and all the things we hear about every day, many of us don't see a way up or a way out or a better days ahead. And many of us feel demoralized and psychologically and emotionally stuck. So I wrote Aspire Higher to give everybody the clear and actionable steps to jumpstart their lives, starting today with the small life choices that they are blessed to have in front of them that they can make and make great ones. And as I said, start to develop that confidence, those feelings of self-esteem. So this book is meant to jumpstart you wherever you are and put you on a far better and more fulfilling life track.
Well, all people have to do is turn to chapter 10, which is called Emotion and Impulse Management. Explain that, because you have 9 steps that will really help people to sort of organize their minds around what they have to do to find this heart of hearts kind of love, to make their lives better. So talk about this. You call it EIM.
Yes. And basically, you know, the story that you first started this conversation with of my friend Steve bumping into the blind young man and just impulsively yelling, you know, what are you, an idiot? That's an example of not being able to manage your emotions, not being able to manage your impulses. And how can you be a clear decision maker when your mind, when your life choice making and reasoning processes are hijacked by your emotions? You know, we all can think about times when somebody pushed our buttons, something really upset us, something cut us to the core, and we immediately reacted without thinking, what do I really want to say? What do I really want to do? What would the best outcome here be? Because you're not thinking. That's the thing. You're not thinking, you're not reasoning, you're not valuing. So in this chapter, I talk about various steps that you can take to step away from the moment, clear your mind, and make a much more satisfying, wise, constructive choice and secure what you really want to secure and act the way you really want to act. Because when you're proud of yourself, when you make a great decision, that adds self-esteem. You feel better about yourself. Your self-image rises. And when you feel great about yourself, you are motivated to make more good life choices. So, for example, You know, the first step that I talk about, Patsy, is one, step away from the moment and do something that clears your mind. It could be meditation. It could be a walk in the park, on the beach, some quiet place, take a bike ride, listen to music. Anything that centers you, anything that calms you. Think about your blessings in life, not what you don't have, but what you do have. Think about the people you love. Think about your favorite dog or cat. Anything that puts a smile on your face and a smile in your heart, that'll calm you down. Think about the horrible consequences. I call it being consequence cognizant of the of what would happen if you just impulsively reacted like my friend Steve did. The horrible consequences. And think about this. I think we all know people, and certainly celebrities, that had they been consequence cognizant, they wouldn't have made the horrible choice they made. They wouldn't have hurt themselves, their careers, their loved ones. So be consequence cognizant. Before you do anything, think about the consequences of your act. Then think about what you really want to secure with the interaction. How do I really want to act? What are my highest goals and my highest values? Because if you make a choice that reflects those highest goals, those highest values, and your highest self, then you're going to feel really good about the choice that you make, the results you secured, and the way you acted. And Aspire Higher is all about putting positives into your heart, putting love into your heart, putting confidence into your heart and into your psyche, because all those things motivate you to do more and more great things with your life and for others.
Well, I love that chapter. I think it's wonderful. It has exactly the type of thing and the encouragement that people need. And making this blessing list, I think, is wonderful. It's something that really every family should do. You could have a day where you all sit down and write a blessing list and appreciate each other. It's so important that we have a change of heart, really. You hit the right word. People have to change in so many ways because we're facing things where this horrible road rage or people now on airplanes going into rages, fighting, spitting on each other, things that really, were almost unimaginable. When I was younger, I never would have thought anybody on an airplane would get in a fight. I mean, we were all so polite. I remember when I used to fly around the world, and everyone was so polite. As a matter of fact, most people don't remember that we actually used to dress up to go on an airplane.
Yes, I remember.
It was so nice. We were all so nice. Everybody was so nice. And to imagine now to get on a flight where you have to be scared of everybody, you don't know if you look at somebody and they think that you're giving them a bad look, and next thing you know there are fights on planes or people in these road rages because they have not learned to control their emotions and they have not learned to control their negativity. And that's why I love that chapter. And I'm going to read one more little thing from your book, which I like. It's called Negativity Town,
yeah,
and the Effect of the Negativity Bias. I'll just read the first stanza. When things upset me and bring me down, and I quickly head to Negativity Town, I recall my blessings, and they make me feel that what I'm facing isn't such a bad deal. Again, you have some wonderful, I love these little things. They really would make wonderful magnets for people to put on their, around, because it is so good. And it gives this feeling of positivity. And just thinking about what you're going to say, what you're going to do, and control your emotions and be positive. Because it is really, that's why this book, I think, is so inspiring. And, you have a chapter there on chapter 12, which is called The Stumble. You people make mistakes. People do things wrong. but you can recover. And we need that. We need, somehow, we need to get through to people, to young people, to people who are just, you know, having all these emotional problems now because of the pandemic. And all of these people who are, like, saying, I'm quitting my job. I'm you know, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with all the problems in the workplace. But again, if they would handle it with the kind of insight that you have in this book, I think their lives would be better.
Well, I truly believe, Patsy, and I totally agree with you, what I believe is that, and it's interesting because I've had a conversation with one of my children about this when somebody said, you know, I failed, or, you know, I was defeated. And I truly believe that there are no failures. I believe failures are learning lessons for us. I've learned more from my losses and my stumbles in most instances than I did from my victories, because I had to objectively, non-defensively figure out why things didn't go right. And I figured out a better way, hopefully. So really, my failures, in quotes, my setbacks, actually were the first steps to my gaining sweet victories, or growing, or evolving. And if you're always afraid of losing, you're never going to take a calculated risk. You're never going to step out and try something, maybe something that's going to be much better for you. So I believe that, look, we don't want to suffer losses. We don't want to suffer seeming defeats. But the thing is, it's all in how you frame it to yourself. And to me, I do take risks a bit. I do step out. I wrote a book for the first time. You know, somebody could have said to me, oh, my God, you know, you're a horrible writer. But I did it anyway. And, you know, in tennis, I try different things. I serve a little harder. I poach a little bit more at the net. How do you grow?
And you beat Arthur Ashe, by the way. I have to tell people that. Not many people in the world can say, I beat Arthur Ashe.
Well, thank you. But that, you know, that's the point. I have become someone that, you know, I don't love to lose. I don't like losing at all. But I understand that it is a necessary growth step to be the best I can be. So when we have life detours, when things don't go the way we expected, just, you know, I know there's this cliche that everybody knows, when handed lemons make lemonade. But that's so true. It's how you deal with everything. And for me, the way to deal with things that will make you proud, that will make you feel confident, is by figuring out what the constructive solution or constructive path is with whatever comes your way. And trust me, if you make constructive decisions, find a constructive path out of the darkness, you gain such confidence. I truly feel I can think my way out of almost anything by figuring out what's the best path. What do I want to secure? But there's another part to this, Patsy, which I really believe resonated with you. And that is the section called being a solutionary. And that is, not only do you want to find constructive solutions for your, you know, issues, problems, challenges, but you also want to find constructive solutions that benefit others, that help others, that elevate others, or at a minimum, your solutions don't hurt others.
Well, this book really is like mentorship in your hands. You were lucky, of course, to have a real personal mentors who helped you along the way, encouraged you. I actually never had a mentor, which is why I now try to mentor people, because I had a bad experience in school. When I was in third grade, as you can imagine, I think you've heard that, you know, I read I read a lot. I've been reading since I was 3 years old, like Beatrix Potter. I was in third grade, and my teacher, who should have, so many times the writers will say, oh, my third grade teacher really inspired me. Well, she made me sit on my left hand because I was left-handed, and she didn't like left-handed people. And for 6 weeks, I didn't, you know, I'm sitting on my left hand and trying to write with my right hand. And it was terrible. And so I look back and I say, you know, if you have somebody who inspires you, and as I said, so many of the writers say, my third grade teacher was the one who got me writing. It's just, in this case, people, this book is wonderful. Aspire Higher. I love the cover. It's a great book, and it's by Ken Lindner. And the whole idea is to how to find the love, positivity, and purpose to elevate your life and the world. And Ken is your mentor here.
Well, I'm honored to be everybody's mentor. I wrote the book because I really feel like we all could use a positive and powerful jump start in our lives, especially with what's going on. And, you know, I know that you, Patsy, have liked some of the things I put in the book when it comes to, you know, the poems and the sayings. And, you know, just yesterday I wrote something, and I'd love to just share it with your listeners, and that is, may the light in your heart always be radiantly bright. And for others, always be the light.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, where can people, of course, the book is available online and wherever books are sold. I'm sure at also now a lot of the bookstores are open again and it's available there. Do you have a website that you want people to go to?
Sure. My website is positivelifechoicepsychology.com. PositiveLifeChoicePsychology.com. And if anyone would like to keep in touch with me on Instagram, it's at Ken Lindner, PLCP, Positive Life Choice Psychology. Ken Lindner, PLCP. And I would be happy to answer any of your questions. And it's been a pleasure and an honor, Patsy, to be with you today.
Well, it's been a joy to talk to you. And I was actually very afraid to talk. I was really nervous. I didn't sleep well. I was nervous to talk to you because people don't know, but I mean, you are involved in the business of broadcasting and knowing and working with so many famous people. And so all night long, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm talking to Ken Lindner. And I was actually scared to talk to you today.
Well, you know, the interesting part is, Patsy, well, first of all, I couldn't wait to speak with you. But, you know, the interesting part is that, you know, I work with talented people, no question. But the difference between fulfilling your potential and not are the choices that you make along the way, are the steps that you take. So I have been doing what I do for 38 years, and I have counseled thousands of people to make tens of thousands of positive life choices that have really put their careers on extraordinary paths. So that's how I came to write this book. I've always been a student of how important and impactful our choices are.
Well, you have done it with this book, and you have other books. People will be able to see more about you. I will be writing about you on my website. But right now, everybody, get Aspire Higher by Ken Lindner. And as I mentioned, I always tell my listeners when I have a children's author on, I say buy their book and send it to a children's hospital because children's hospitals really need books right now because they can't share books anymore. They're very short of books. And in this case, I want to say to people, Aspire Higher is a perfect gift for anybody you know who has young children or is pregnant and about to have children. Give them this book. And also, just buy one, go online, and send it to one of these organizations that gives books to prisoners. Because if it touches just one heart in a prison, one person, and makes them a better person, and to understand that they got there because they weren't filled with love, but perhaps the next generation and their children, they can fill with love. So, Ken Lindner, it's been an honor to talk to you.
I feel the same way, Patsy, and thank you all for listening, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your week.
And you have a very joy-filled week and year, because it's the beginning of the year, and there's so much that your book can do to help people.
Well, thanks so much, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Okay. Wow. Really, people, do that. Do that. You know, you hear about the crime in the street. You hear about the shootings. You hear about this, and you say, well, there's all these people in prison. What's going to happen to them? Maybe this book, I'm telling you, this book might be just the key to the heart of at least one person in prison. And they put it in the prison library, and you don't know how many people will read it. But if one person, just one person, says, I'm changing my life, I'm going to be a better person, then you've done something wonderful. Now, I'm going to skip commercials for a moment. We'll talk about my sponsors after I talk to somebody who's on the line. Haley Woolbright. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Patsy. How's it going?
Okay. Well, I had a long interview there, and I'm so glad you stayed on, because I want so much to talk about your new song. And to, of course, I'm going to play Boxcar, the entire song, you know, whenever I do it. And I play, I don't know if you realize, you know, you probably don't listen all the time, but I play Boxcar all the time. Big Ed in the control room knows that he has to have Boxcar ready all the time. Because whenever, like, I have a moment, when sometimes I get, like, confused, or sometimes a caller will be late, or, you know, something will happen technically, and Big Ed knows I just wave at him, and he puts Boxcar on, because it is on my morning playlist. And over the next, you know, my 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper is in March, and I am going to be going through I have 10 songs on my playlist, sort of to put me in a good mood in the morning. And Boxcar is number 4. So Boxcar is a song that I love, and I'm so thrilled that, you know, you have been on the program so many times already, and you can come back all the time, because you've got a new song coming out, but I can't release it till...
Yes, I do.
You have to tell us about it.
Yeah, so it actually comes out tomorrow. I'm super excited. It's called Chosen, and I wrote it... it's a pretty happy song, but I wrote it when I was kind of reflecting on just childhood. And I've shared with you before, Patsy, I very much grew up a really big tomboy.
Yeah, me too.
I was not a girly girl. I was, you know, super into sports, could easily hang out with the boys, all that stuff. You know, just like to wear shorts and T-shirts. That also gave me a lot of insecurity growing up, because I didn't really measure up to all the other girls, right? And so I just remember always, like, you know, having crushes on boys and just never standing a chance because, you know, I wasn't like the other girls. I was too much, like, closer to the boys. And so, you know, now I've been married for 1.5 years, and I was just kind of thinking about, like, all the things that my husband loves most about me are the things that kind of set me apart when I was younger and that caused insecurity, you know, like that I am good at sports and that I'm not super girly. And it was just kind of this happy moment of, like, when I was growing up, I never felt chosen, you know, like no one ever chose me in that way. But now I have somebody that chooses me every day.
Well, I love the lyrics of the song. May I just do the first 2 lines? Do you mind?
Sure.
Okay.
No, I don't mind.
Because I love it. It says, I was always the girl who looked too tall in the picture. I could hang with the boys and run the bases much quicker. And that is so me. I was exactly the same way. The only D I ever got in school, in all my years in school, I got a D in 5th grade because I pitched like a boy. I refused to do this underhand swinging stuff. I thought that's so silly. And my mother played in a league, you know, during World War II. She played in a women's league where they pitched like the boys. And I mean, I'm a great pitcher. I really am. And I love it. I loved it. But this teacher was so mean and miserable to me, and she gave me a D. So when I read that line, I got such a kick out of it. I am so looking forward to playing the song. I will be playing it next week on Tuesday once it's released. So we'll have it right there on Tuesday, and I'll talk about it again because it is wonderful. But, you know, right, and I'll talk more about you, and we'll have you back. I want to talk more about things. I'm running out of time because I want to play the entire Boxcar.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play that. And meanwhile, you stay well. Don't get COVID. Be strong. And I will have you back soon. But we're going to play the entire song right now. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Love ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You can listen to the song.
Been stowed away on this boxcar for quite some time. We plan to ride it all the way from Maine to Anaheim. But things change and people do too. My company's gone. I could choose to step off and make my way back.
Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you. How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Okay, I have a minute here to say happy birthday to Big Ed. I don't know if he's listening, checking up on us, because we have Bobby in the control room, and he's doing a great job. He's so cute. He's so adorable. But Big Ed, thank you for everything that you do for me. Happy, happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful day. It's rare for you to take a day off. So maybe you're relaxing. No, you can't be out relaxing by the pool. It's a little cool here. But Big Ed, I am very grateful to you and all of my listeners. They always ask me about you. They always say, what does Big Ed look like? And I say, oh, he's so cute too. So it's just wonderful. And I want to thank you. And as Bobby knows and everybody knows, Big Ed always salutes me, but today I'm going to salute him and I'm going to salute Bobby because, you know, it is just so wonderful to be working here at Tan Talk and to just have this wonderful, wonderful microphone here to just, I come alive the minute I sit behind this microphone. So Big Ed, have a great day and I look forward to seeing you next week. And thanks again, Bobby. You are great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Okay.
Good to see you.
It's good that you're here. I love when you come in too. Okay. Bye-bye now, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful, absolutely joy-filled weekend and read a good book. I have a lot of them. Okay. Bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.